Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Say what you wanna say.
9:39. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Elton Jim Toronto is here today.
Can I just say a quick thank you?
We hope you listen anyway.
Can I just say a quick thank you? This was the nicest thing. You were so nice. You mentioned that I had some mail here at the station.
Right.
That people had sent me for Christmas, and I'm not here all that often, if ever. And but this was so nice. I got like 5 cards, and even I have to say thank you to Christopher Valerio. Sent me an old magazine, a circus magazine, a music magazine from August 1972 with Elton John in it.
Wow, how about that?
How nice is that?
That's very nice.
What if I worked here? Could you imagine?
Hell, come on. Let's try to keep things positive.
No, but thank you so much. That is so nice of you, and I thank you for keeping it in a pile for me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Wow, what a nice little early or late Christmas and
that's our Groundhog's Day gift to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
As we usually do at this time, if Elton Jim has left us any time to talk to Dr. Kevin Most, Jim thinks he's at the Academy Awards thanking people here this morning. Dr. Kevin Most.
Mr. Ray Rita, thank you.
Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, do you have a vaccine for Jim today? Seems like he needs something here today. I don't know what it is exactly.
Yeah, Dean, I hope you slipped a couple of like cable bills or heating bills in his mail.
That's right. He's got some unsolicited mail from Comcast.
Yeah, there is an Xfinity here too.
Exactly. So this is an interesting week in the fight against COVID, Dr. Most, with Dr. Fauci now officially in charge of the fight. And Dr. Fauci talking about how he feels liberated that, you know, science can actually take over fighting the disease. How does the medical community feel about all of this?
So happy, so refreshing to hear that we're going back to science. And he's a voice of reason and he's a voice of knowledge. So we're all very happy that he's back in the position that he is, because we really are going to get a lot more action, I think, because I think he really will hold up the science portion of it. And we're already seeing that. You know, he's already looking at, you know, what they're doing in the UK with splitting doses and, you know, can we do that here or should we do that here? He's already looking at the logistics of how we're going to get this into arms. So it's very refreshing that we're seeing him back. And that coupled with the news, you know, that our numbers are down, just kind of gives us a little sense of optimism.
Yeah, a little a slight glimmer of hope and light in this whole thing. Yet the national turnout of the vaccine, getting the vaccines out around the country and, as you say, into the arms, has been incredibly disappointing. But do we expect that to also change? Because, you know, there was talk this week that a national stockpile that was thought to be there apparently is not. Yeah. So where are we with that of, you know, if the goal is to get people vaccinated, but there's no vaccine to get out there?
That certainly is the concern. And you know, when you look at the breadth of what we have to do here, the work that we're doing right now needed to be done a month ago, needed to be done 6 weeks ago. So unfortunately, we're playing catch up right now. And we're also playing catch up to say, okay, wait, where's the vaccine? How much do we have and what do we do with it going forward? I think probably the most promising news is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine study. You know, the interim data came out and the single shot did very well. You know, the expectation is that by Valentine's Day, that will be up and running and ready to go. And they plan to have 100 million doses by April. And you have to remember, that's the single dose. That's one shot. Yeah. So we don't need to worry about a stockpile for the second shot. I know here in Illinois, we've been very judiciously making sure we have that second dose so that the first dose is given, but the second dose is held in the state stockpile. Now it's going to be how are we going to replenish that as we start to get into the phase 1B, which happens here across the state starting tomorrow.
Is the first vaccine rendered mute if the second one doesn't come within a certain amount of time? If it does turn out that there is a shortage and you can't get the second dose in a timely manner?
Yes. So the first dose, we know, even from the studies and from the anecdotal work that's been done since, is that you get about a 50% effective rate from that first dose alone. And if we all remember, when the FDA put this out in the beginning, they said, we will accept any vaccine that is 50 to 60%. So essentially, they would have accepted that. What you're seeing is some studies now are showing that as long as you get it up to 12 weeks later, and some people are even saying even longer than that, you're still going to get the bump. You still will get a bump. You may not get the bump that you would normally if you're going at the 21-day Pfizer note or the 28-day Moderna. But I think it's going to come down to how much vaccine do we have. And if you take the Britain viewpoint of saying we're going to get everybody at least at 50% and then we'll chase them throughout the summer for their second shot, you know, they feel that they're in a more perilous position than we are right now.
So let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the virus variant and what kind of danger we might be in with that as it continues to spread. And also, I want to get to your calls for Dr. Most, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Researchers are working on a vaccine for Elton Jim to see if there's some way that we can...
you cannot kill enthusiasm, my friend.
We're kind of controlling that. It's coming up. WGN, Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital, with us like he is every Sunday morning. The virus variant, doctor, now I believe is in 22 states here in America. How concerned should we be that we may be looking at a repeat of everything that we've gone through for the last year?
Yeah, you know, although it's been identified in 22 states, if I was a gambling individual, I would bet you that it's in all 50 states already. You know, we have to realize that when we do a COVID test, we're testing for the virus itself. We're not testing for the genetic makeup of that virus. So as we start to look more on their positive cases at the genetic makeup, we're identifying more and more states. Would not surprise me by the end of the week that we would say it's in 35 states. Not sure if you saw the news yesterday, University of Michigan found the variant in its athletic department and has shut down all athletic activity for the next couple of weeks. So it is definitely out there. The bad thing about it is it's very contagious. You know, we talked about this in the past. It's Darwinism at its finest. You know, the virus that can spread more easily will continue to spread. The beauty of it, or I should say the positive thing about it, is it doesn't appear to be more virulent, so it doesn't appear to make people more ill. However, as you get the numbers, you know you're going to hit vulnerable populations as more and more people get infected, so the chance of deaths going up because of the variant is certainly there.
708 area code says, should we be double masking now?
You know, I'm a big fan of double masking. Personally, you know, when I fly, and I fly a little bit, I double mask on the planes. If you're in an environment that you totally control, whether it be your home or just around, a single mask is probably fine. But if you're going to go out to whether now, you know, you can go indoor dining, I would certainly double mask going there. I certainly would double mask going into any retail shopping, and double mask if you're going to be around people. So it's just that additional layer. And again, the better the seal, the better the chance of decreasing the spread. When you double, we got to remember when we were talking about masks before, it was to protect us from giving the disease to someone else because we would be asymptomatic.
Right.
The double masking now at least gives you additional layer of protection personally from someone else giving it to you.
Does it matter what kind of masks? I've heard that you should use one cloth and one of these blue, you know, these blue tri-folded, you know, kind of papery mask. Does it make any difference what the material is that you're masking with?
You know, if you do a cloth and you do a paper, you know, you're probably going to be able to breathe much easier than if you do two cloth. So So, I mean, I would go for comfort. Again, it's that physical barrier. And I can tell you the blue and yellow paper masks are very good. That's what we wear in the hospital all the time. And then those who are taking care of the COVID patients obviously are wearing the much more tight-fitting N95s, which people all want. But I can tell you, I've seen a lot of people with N95s, and it's just as good as if they were wearing a cloth mask, a paper mask, a blue mask, because it's not fitted for them. We have to remember that N95s fit very tight to your face, yeah. And people really can't tolerate that for a long period of time.
For how long should you wear those blue masks?
Well, I switch mine out every 4 days. So if I come in on Monday, I'll get a fresh mask on Monday morning, and then probably towards the end of the week, I'll flip it out. You know, if it gets soiled or if it gets wet, certainly change it. But if you're wearing it normally and just doing and taking it off, you know, when you're sitting around by yourself, certainly it can last 4 days easily.
Yeah. That's what I wear, the blue mask, and I know this isn't a problem that a lot of people have, but because we wear makeup on television,
yep.
The inside of my mask looks like I was carrying a satchel of Hershey bars in there from the makeup.
So. And if you use Just for Men, the same thing happens with my goatee.
Yeah. Here's Karen at 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling. My mom is almost 90 years old, and she's going to have a hip replacement in March. And I'm wondering if, even though everybody's vaccinated, can they still carry COVID?
Karen, that's the million-dollar question that we're looking at right now. We all have to understand that the studies were done to show that the vaccine would not give people symptoms, would not have an advancement of disease into them to give them pneumonia or kidney problems or heart problems. We don't know if they would still be able to harbor the virus in the back of their throat and thus still be contagious, which is exactly why, even though I've had both doses, I still wear a mask every day. So that's going to be the big question. Now, she's 90 years old and looking at hip replacement. Hopefully, she's aligned with a family doctor or an internist, and really, she is now eligible essentially for that vaccination now, which would get her fully vaccinated prior to her surgery. So hopefully you're in a health system that is really starting to push out. I can tell you Northwestern started last week and now is sending messages to patients, starting with the oldest patients and working their way down. If she's 90 years old, she would fit in that first wave.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Doctor, there's a lot of talk about Chicago public schools and whether teachers should go back and whether it's safe for teachers, whether it's safe for kids. What's your take on what would be the most safe thing to do right now for both students and teachers?
Yeah, Dean, my stand on teaching has been the same throughout, and especially it probably changes a little bit now. I think we should certainly focus on getting the teachers all vaccinated as quickly as possible.
I was saying that to somebody yesterday with all this controversy and teachers are going to do that and parents are going to do that. It's like, why don't we just vaccinate how come the teachers aren't, at the head of the line with the home care workers and essential workers? The teachers certainly seem like they ought to be.
100%. I mean, and they're a captive audience. In other words, we had a captive audience here in the hospital. It was fairly easy for us to get vaccinated. So same there. We could send a nurse to a school, have all the teachers or even a school district, and all the teachers get vaccinated on the same day. And the reason I say it is that we all have to realize that school is much more important than we probably think. 22 million kids rely on that for their meals. More than one half of child abuse is noted by a teacher. Learning disabilities are identified by teachers. All those opportunities when kids are behind a Zoom meeting just don't happen. So there's a lot more behind teaching than education, and it's the health and welfare of these children as well.
How does indoor dining, now the expansion of that in Chicago, how does that differ from the warnings we were getting around the holidays for not congregating and getting together
for Thanksgiving?
And how does that, what I'm afraid of is in late February or March, we're going to see these numbers go up again. How does going to a restaurant now differ from the warning against getting together for the holidays?
Yeah, Jim. So what they're looking at, the positivity rate and what are the chances now of you being exposed to somebody in that. So, you obviously you'll see that the tables are you know, separated by 6 feet. The mask, the servers are all wearing masks. But certainly we run that risk that we are going to do have a little bit of an exposure. With it keeping it down to 25 or 25%, certainly the numbers there are going to be very low. But still, sitting across the table from someone, and a lot of people do it in what I'll call their pod. They know that the people across from them and how they act. So at least they have some comfort there. But really, the important thing is going to be how the restaurants are going to say to people, please put your mask on. This is for the health of their employees as well as the health of everyone else, especially the health of their business. So I think that the numbers getting down to where they were shows the mitigation that we've seen in Illinois that hasn't been seen in other states where they had full bore dining, you know, the entire time.
Yeah, and probably all the same things apply. A couple of people on the text line saying, why is it okay now to go to a restaurant? You know, why is there limited seating in restaurants, but it's okay to go to a grocery store or a Home Depot store? Right. You're not sitting right across from somebody. You're not face-to-face with somebody at the grocery store or Home Depot. At least, I hope you're not. Anyway,
well, I always have someone sitting in my cart facing me.
Right, whether he knows them or not. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Have a great week, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.